Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Cole.
And my name is Ben.
And we are the Stream Team.
Our goal is to help you navigate through the various streaming services out there to make the best use of your binge-watching time.
In this episode, we will be talking about Netflix. You can't really talk about streaming without Netflix coming up. Netflix was one of the first streaming services out there. Now, there are many different streaming services with lots of varieties to watch currently, but it makes sense to talk about the one that started it all.
I'm going to be discussing comedy and sitcoms. I've noticed a lot of comedy shows are being taken off Netflix.
Yeah, lots of them have been gone. Most notably, Friends, of course.
Friends, that 70s show. The Office, funny enough, they said they were removing, but I just found an article stating that they're going to keep it on Netflix.
Yeah, I think something similar was going on with the show Community. They were taking it off, and I think it even was not on there for like a month or two, but then they brought it back.
Yeah, I've noticed that also with The Good Place. They had season one and two. My parents loved it. I don't watch that show. I think it's a piece of shit, but my parents loved it, and my parents couldn't find the second season. Even though it was there before. So I don't know what happened to it. And then I think it came back. So sometimes Netflix is a little shiesty with their algorithms or with who decides this. I want to know who decides to keep what shows on Netflix and which ones to can and which seasons.
That is a good question. I mean, Friends was definitely one of their most watched shows, but I think they figured out that like something to do with the rights and it like costing them more than it made. So what service is it on now? It's Hulu. And that's the thing. Netflix was the original one. They had a bunch of older sitcoms. And now that these new services are coming out, the new services have some claim on those older shows. So those shows are migrating off Netflix and onto different ones. So Ben, what are your top comedies for Netflix?
So besides the shows that they canceled, like Friends, that 70s show, the ones that currently remain would be The Office. I would highly recommend if you still haven't watched it. You have to get past the first season. The first season is really cringy. I think cringy is the word that's described The Office.
Yeah, I gotta say, all my friends told me to watch The Office. I couldn't get past like two episodes. It was just too awkward. I'm just like, oh, what am I watching?
It's only the first season that's like that. It's only the first few episodes of the first season.
If you did get turned off by that originally, like me, I came back to it and then I watched it all the way through.
Me too. And I think I started from the second season and then I finished the entire series. And then I went back to the first season and I just sat through the cringy first few episodes. So I watched the first season after everything else.
Oh, that's an interesting way of doing it.
I wouldn't recommend it. I would have rather have watched in chronological order.
So suffer through it. It's worth it in the end.
It is. It is. And my other favorite shows that are comedy related, it's not a sitcom, but it's comedians in cars getting coffee. And it's Jerry Seinfeld driving around in really old antique vehicles that are really expensive, most of them. And he drives around with other fellow comedians, Sarah Silverman, Bill Burr, and his friend Larry David. I love Larry David. Okay, I don't know if you know who Larry David is, Cole. I think I've mentioned him like a billion times.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't think I could pick him out of a crowd.
He's the bald guy with glasses, and he's the guy behind Seinfeld. He's one of two creators. He created it, co-created it with Jerry Seinfeld.
That's interesting. I never knew that.
So a lot of the stories, a lot of the weird, intricate, ridiculous storylines, a lot of that comes from Larry David's ridiculous brain, and I love him for it because I really love Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's another unrelated, it's not on Netflix, but it's a fantastic show. And Larry David's just he's a comedian's comedian. He's the guy you go to for advice. You know, if you're a comedian, you want to know how to time a joke or like what's funny today, you know, he's the guy to go to.
I've seen this format before. It's like people singing in cars or something like that. Unfortunately, I've seen some of those, but I've never seen this comedians in cars. Tell me a little bit about like what makes that funny.
So it's basically Jerry Seinfeld, and he's pretty funny because he's observational. So he's the guy who's driving around, and he's driving in the real world, and he's making acute observations, and he has fellow guests that are also equally talented in the comedic realm. So it's just really, it's two funny, bright geniuses bantering, making jokes, commenting on the world and the fucked up things that are happening. And it's just, it's interesting. It's less of a sitcom ha-ha funny, and it's more like, oh, like there's like one joke in there that, you know, that's self-deprecating. You're like, ah, you know, like I relate to you, Sarah Silverman. I have a friend, my friend Haley, who's just like Sarah Silverman. Literally, if they met, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. It's ridiculous how much alike they are. So it's not so much like ha-ha funny, but it's funny in its own way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Why don't you talk to me a little bit about Community, How I Met Your Mother, Kim's Convenience. These are shows that I don't really watch. I haven't watched Modern Family in a long time. New Girl, I never plan on watching because it looks cheap and tacky to me. Maybe you can...
It most definitely is not. So
maybe you can then change my mind. Let's see where that takes us.
These are some of my favorite comedy shows to watch, especially right now, you know, during all the turbulent times going on in the world. I feel
all
like
the COVID catastrophes. Yes.
Yes. We're all looking for an escape. I feel like Community, I've been watching that one. I've seen it all the way through all six seasons, at least five times now. It's just such a good show. Cleverly written. The first four seasons are the best. The fifth season is okay. They start losing characters after the fourth season. And then the sixth season is bad, but I still watch it.
Because... Don't you hate that when they're like, oh, you know, by the way, the main characters go to Africa. Like in That 70s Show, Eric left. I'm like, bitch, he was like the best character. He was so sarcastic. I love sarcastic bantering people. Best characters leave always middle of an entire series. So like season four, was that you said?
Yeah, season four. My favorite character stuck around to season five, but then he left during it. Troy, played by Donald Glover or Childish Gambino, as you may know him. He's awesome.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great. And he's so funny, too. So he played talented. Such a vital role on the show. Like, it definitely just lost something without him.
I mean, he was probably the breakout character, wasn't he?
I don't know. I wouldn't describe him that way. He had like another best friend on the show, Abed Nadir, who stayed on through all six seasons, but without Troy, he lost a little bit of something. But Pierce Hawthorne, the old man on the show, played by Chevy Chase, who I love. He's really funny, though apparently not a very nice guy and also a racist, which is why he got kicked off the show after season four.
I heard about that. I watched the documentary where he tried to explain himself, and I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
You know, controversy aside with him, I think he's funny. I loved him.
I love Chevy Chase.
And he's hilarious in this show. I can't think of any other TV shows that have Chevy Chase as like a main character.
Do you know why? Because he hasn't worked in Hollywood in like three decades.
Yeah, because he doesn't work well with people. Okay, mystery explained.
Mystery solved. What do you, you know, do you need Sherlock Holmes to be on the case? Like he's a dick.
Yeah.
But he's awesome. I loved his movie, Fletch. You probably don't know it. It's 1985. It's so old. Before either of us were born. Chevy Chase. Fuck. He's just so great.
Great actor. Not a great person.
Great actor and comedian. Awful human being.
Awful human being. How I Met Your Mother. That is another phenomenal series on there. It's 9 seasons, I think. Not 10 seasons.
Holy Jesus.
But 9? Oh, yeah. Like, I binge watched all 9 seasons in like a month or something like
that. I'm tired just knowing that there's 9 seasons of that out there.
But it is a great show. Really funny. The last season is... It's not great. You know, some shows start to lose their fire towards the end. And this is no exception. However, it is still just an extremely funny show that I have rewatched multiple times. Kim's Convenience. That is a local Toronto based television series. So, you know, you see some Canadian references like TDC and all that stuff. It's a really funny show. It's on par and same quality with all the other famous American sitcoms. And, you know, it's Canadian. And I feel like that's really rare. Definitely worth a watch. Really funny. Modern Family, you know, it's, you know, right now everybody's missing their family. This is a great show to watch. Absolutely hilarious.
Can I just say that we're both very lucky that we get to be at home with our families right now?
Yes, of course. For those of you who can't, watch Modern Family. Not the same thing, but, you know, still nice.
It'll bring you a little closer to home, but from far away.
Yeah. And then last on the list for me is New Girl, which is a show that I just watched recently. It's been on there for a while. 6 seasons. Another just really funny show. Like, Netflix has so many good comedy series. It's really good. But the thing is, a lot of their comedy shows on there, they're not Netflix originals. You know, they're older shows that premiered on TV and then Netflix got them on their service. So they are losing some of that. Ben, do you want to talk about dramas?
Yes, sir. I don't know why I did that. So in terms of dramas, one show that my family and I have been really into have been Suits. Suits is a good show. We haven't watched it now in already a month because my mom doesn't want to keep watching it. It's a little depressing for her. It kind of sucks because I like it. But it's a good show. If anyone likes dramas, especially legal dramas, if you like legal jargony kind of stuff, watch Suits. It's fantastic. Another drama. This is more of a real life drama. It's called The World's Most Wanted, and they have episodes about different real-life criminals, international criminals specifically, terrorists, mafia bosses, people who've committed genocide. There's one in particular that really just gave me chills. It was about a man named Felician Kabuga in the 90s. He was involved in the Rwandan genocide. He was the money behind the operation. He gave money to really awful people to say that these other minorities were evil or whatnot, and the rest is history. So this man was on the run for 25 years, and he was caught in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. In May of last year, they found him in a suburb in Paris, France, living a second life. That, to me, you can't make this shit up, okay? This is better than anything anyone's imagination can come up with. Because this actually happened. There is a man out there who killed or was involved in the killing of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people, who was on the run for almost 30 years and found somewhere in France. That is a real-life drama. I don't think you can find anything better than that. Netflix does such a good job with documentaries. Last drama that actually I have watched all of it, especially with my family, has been The Crown. Do you know anything about The Crown, Cole?
I've heard lots about it. I know that it's very popular, and I'm sure many people listening have watched or heard of it before, so why don't you explain to me what it's like?
It chronicles the life of Queen Elizabeth II from her really early years, her formative years, when her father was still alive, King George. Her father started getting ill, and when he became ailing with cancer from smoking, she eventually realized, you know, she's the next person in line for the throne. And the only way for her to become Queen Elizabeth is for her father to die. And I think for any child or any daughter or son to think about that, the only way for you to progress to the next echelon to be at the top, you got to wait for your dad to die. I think there's a lot of dramatic power in that. And I can't imagine the weight on one's shoulders to have to think about that. And eventually she mourns her father, and then she becomes queen, and we see her life go through all the difficult periods in England's history, different events. She got to meet so many prime ministers, like 10 or 20 prime ministers over her lifetime in the show, up until I think the period ranged from the early 50s to the mid 90s. It was portrayed by different actresses, one of whom was Olivia Colman. You know Olivia Colman.
Probably.
She's a British actress. She's really well known. She played in Broadchurch. Olivia Colman played in Fleabag as well. She has a side character role, and it's very effective. She's a great actress. So The Crown, I highly recommend it. Your heartstrings, and, you know, in the show, Queen Elizabeth's father passing, it kind of brought home a little bit of what happened with my family. You know, my mother's father, my grandfather, just passed away a few months ago from COVID, and it was really, really tough. And so we actually watched this show. We started it right around that period when it was really tough. So if you're ever going through anything and you really want to wallow in your sorrow, I would recommend The Crown. I think it brought my family closer together.
Well, there you go.
Back to you, Cole.
Now, I'm going to be talking about the action-adventure shows available on Netflix, and I feel like there's a good variety. None of them have that much of an allure to them. However, you can't really ignore The Walking Dead. I recently got into it. It's wildly popular. If you haven't seen it, you've heard of it at least. So it's a fantastic show, you know, binge-watchable, you know, all 9 seasons, as I said. Except for new ones. But lots of people have been telling me, because I've only watched up until season 6, I think. But I think I heard after season 6 it gets, like, really bad or something. You know, everybody always gets upset about the characters they killed off. But, you know, if you're getting upset about the characters that aren't in the show, that means it's a good show. So, despite your personal feelings about it, you know, it's still a really good show up until whatever point, you know, you lose your favorite character. It's a good show to get invested in. You know, it's full of the zombie action, if that's what you're into as well, but it's also got a little bit of that drama, too. Now, a Netflix original show that they added is The Witcher, which is based off of a video game series. Side note, the video games are also phenomenal, but after watching the miniseries, lots of people have related it to Game of Thrones. I've seen a little bit of Game of Thrones, but not too much. But after watching the Witcher series on Netflix, I can see the influence. So if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, then I would recommend giving the Witcher a try. Ragnarok. Now, this was it's about Norse gods or mythology, and it's really gripping. And there's only one season available on Netflix right now, I think, but it's just very unique. It's very interesting. So if you're looking for something a little bit different in the action adventure area, then I'd give Ragnarok a try. If you don't mind subtitles as well, because some people are not a fan of subtitles.
I mean, Inglourious Basterds had subtitles.
Another action adventure that's good is Disenchantment. It's an animated action adventure, and the animation style, it looks exactly like The Simpsons. I think it's made by the same people, same animators, something like that. So it's got that same Simpsons humor, but it's set in a fantasy land, you know, where there's elves and kingdoms and princesses and all that stuff. Good action adventure, good comedy in there too, which I appreciate. Definitely worth a shot. Last of all, The 100. This might be a little bit of a stretch for action-adventure. The 100 might belong more in a drama because there is lots of that. And while the drama does kind of, you know, it overstays its welcome, the adventure and the idea of the show, you know, like nuclear fallout on Earth, not really habitable anymore, so people went up into a spaceship, but now they're running out of supplies and stuff, so they send like 100 delinquents to Earth to get more stuff for them, and it's just the stuff that happens is pretty crazy, because you know you got the nuclear fallout vibes, and then you got the survivors on the planet, so it gets very interesting very fast. So that would be another recommendation. Aside from the action adventures, kind of along the same lines is anime. Now, if you don't want to shell out the $10-$20 for Crunchyroll, which is its own anime streaming service, which is just anime, Netflix has a good range of animes to watch from. Like, they got cooking animes, they got Netflix original animes, they got the popular ones like Avatar, and then my personal favorite, Naruto. They got the original series, they got the 6 main story series, and then they got like 3 more filler seasons, which nobody really cares about. And then they got Naruto Shippuden up to 9 seasons, which is not all of them, but you can watch the rest like online or something. That is the problem with some of the anime on this list. They have enough to get a really good taste, but right when it's starting to get really good and you're really dragged in, they don't have it anymore. Yeah, which is rough, but they do have all of the original Naruto, so it's still a plus. Another one is Sword Art Online, which was only 1 season, but then they got like Gun Gale Online, Sword Art Online 2 or something like that. So it's really disjointed, kind of hard to follow, but it was still a really good series. Hunter x Hunter, they have 4 seasons. This is a weird anime, and anime already is really weird. Some of it's kind of hard to watch, but Hunter x Hunter is worth the weirdness, and it gets really good. But back to the Naruto problem, they only have 4 seasons, and there's like 6 or 7. So you'll get a good taste, you'll get really hooked on it, and then you'll have to watch the rest online. Soul Eater, now, this one, they have the full, I think it's only 2 seasons, but that's how much the show is, so you get the full experience. Soul Eater, great anime, highly recommend it. And then a Netflix original anime, which is really, really good, is 7 Deadly Sins. They just came out with the 4th season, I believe, and they also have some Netflix original 7 Deadly Sins movies. This is probably like one of their most popular anime series, because I think they have two movies, or maybe it's just the one, but then they have the four seasons and they're coming out with more. It's a really great series, really fun, you know, action adventure, you know, still got some of those anime inconveniences, but it's just a great show. All right, Ben.
Oh, hello. So, a couple of under the influence shows in case, you know, you want to crack open a nice spliff, just hang back, chill, watch a couple of episodes of the Dairy Girls. I know what you're thinking. Holy crap, what the hell is that? Especially when you first listen to them. Have you heard of the show, Cole? Have you seen any of the episodes at all?
Seen it? No. Heard of it? Yes.
So it basically takes place in the 90s in Northern Ireland. And so they have really thick accents. They have really regional, thick dialect, very specific to that region. So great show. It's hilarious. My parents didn't really like it because they couldn't understand what they were saying. Even with the subtitles, it can be really hard. So I think it's hilarious to watch because of their funny accents. And when you're high, it's the best. Another show would be The Office. That's a classic. I love watching Andy punch a wall over and over. It's the best. And then the last one would be Schitt's Creek, primarily because to me, it's new. I actually just started watching it not too long ago. I am on second season now. So I think that's a great show to watch when you're nice and stoned. I haven't been able to watch very much else for shows under the influence. I've seen movies and other things on YouTube. That is what I have for shows to watch under the influence. In regards to miscellaneous, I have been watching two shows with my family, Nadia Bakes and Great British Castles. Both very different shows. Nadia Bakes, she loves to make like all these scrumptious clotted cream and sugary thingies. So delicious. She's great. And then Great British Castles is about castles that have been around for thousands of years. To me, it's really interesting. All the history that takes place, interesting factoids about castles in England. And they're still standing after like 1500 years, like something ridiculous like that, like 1,000 years old. And it stood the test of time through wars and famines and defenestrations. And oh my goodness, a lot.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Oh yeah.
Along the lines of pretty crazy for miscellaneous shows, we have Black Mirror, which is a Netflix original. And I guess this would probably go well under the influence. I don't know. Have you ever seen Black Mirror, Ben?
One episode, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the one where bad things happen to good people?
I don't even know how to describe it. It's just such a psychedelic. Every episode is like a trip.
I saw one where that guy pissed his pants after robbing a bank because someone videotaped him doing something naughty on his laptop.
I don't know about that one, but
anyway, that was a Black Mirror episode. Unless it was Orphan Black, I'm pretty sure it was Black Mirror.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen that one personally, but Black Mirror, each episode is so different, so crazy. The concepts are insane. You will have no idea what is going on, and then all of a sudden it clicks. You know, it may not click the first time you watch it, you may have to watch it a second time, but they're crazy. They're like 30 minutes to an hour long, I think. I watched one about Miley Cyrus, who turned into like a toy robot or something like that. Oh my god, it's just so crazy. You know, like, this is a big show. It's really popular. One of the ones that sticks in my head a lot is this mom. She has her kid, and like, she takes the kid to like a technology place or whatever, and they implant in the kid a device that lets the mom monitor her kid's vision, like what she is seeing through a tablet. She can like censor things too. The kid sees a scary dog and the mom censors it, so it's just like a blank space there and like no sound. Really, really crazy. Just absolutely crazy concepts that will mess with your head. Really good show. Definitely recommend it. And then a very similar show, Love, Death, Robots. Very similar to Black Mirror. Just a bunch of crazy concepts and weird things happening every episode. But also, every episode has a different animation style. Each episode is animated, and no episode is animated by the same person or animated the same way. An easy example, claymation versus frame-by-frame animation or something like that. Different animation style each episode. Really crazy. Definitely something that I would recommend.
Cool. And lastly for tonight, our ratings and recommendations. So our rating for each genre, for comedy, that was my area of expertise. I gave that an 8 out of 10. the two for my two favorite shows that have been taken off of Netflix, you bastards. For That 70 Show and Friends, I give you 8 out of 10 for comedy.
For action adventure, I give it an 8 out of 10 because there's a decent amount of variety, but just besides the couple that I mentioned, none were that appealing. You know, the advertising or the hooks for the shows just didn't seem as interesting as some of the other ones.
They didn't feel as worth it to you.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, for drama, I gave that a 10 out of 10. Why, you may ask? They have The Crown. They have all of these amazing shows, especially real dramas, like real life dramas. There was one show about dating on the spectrum. Oh, it's just so good. Netflix got it down in the drama department. I give that a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I have to say, for someone who doesn't watch drama, they even have some dramas interesting to me, like Riverdale.
Yes!
They got pretty much everything.
They have everything, and you know what? It's God bless whoever came up with Netflix originals, whoever said that they need to start diversifying and creating their own original shit. Bravo. Excellent idea. It probably saved Netflix.
All right, onto the anime. I give it a 9 out of 10, because, wow, there's just a lot. You know, like, anime for me... is I see something that looks interesting, I watch one episode, and then I end up just binge watching the whole series. Netflix has hundreds of different animes. New ones, original ones, Netflix original ones, older ones like Naruto and Avatar. If you're not an anime person, they still have more on the cartoonish side, you know, which is like enjoyable for everyone, which is like the Avatar and the Naruto. Or they have more in-depth ones like Demon Slayer. They have older ones like Full Metal Alchemist. They really have a huge selection. Yeah, 9 out of 10.
For Under the Influence, I had to give it a 7 out of 10. I think that's pretty decent considering that Netflix should really be promoting if they want more stoners. If you want people to be watching certain shows like Disjointed, everything else is a movie. So in terms of television series shows, there's not that many that have been advertised to me. So for that reason, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. If they made it more obvious or they made shows that were centered more around pot and you know, the stoners, the stoner culture, I'd probably be tuning in more into that.
Yeah. To be fair, Netflix, that's a controversial thing for them to market, especially since it's not legal in America.
And, not yet. Well, Joe Biden's working on it.
Miscellaneous rating, that is a 9 out of 10 because... it's Netflix, all right? This is a huge service. They got pretty much anything you want all across all the genres. That might be worthy of a 10 out of 10 because this really is just a huge service. This is a 9 out of 10 from what we've seen, but there's so much that we haven't seen.
Next episode, we're going to discuss Netflix movies.
And that's about everything for today. I'm Cole.
And I'm Ben. And this has been the Stream Team. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for listening.